Morning. Welcome. It is good to see you. My, y'all look good out there this morning. Thanks for coming to bring the spirit of worship. And we look forward to what God's going to speak to us today as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we have several announcements, and rather than me read through them and then you want to say something about them, if you got something to say, say it. Greg's first.
I always have something to say. I want to thank everybody who came out last night for our stew. We had fish stew, shrimp stew, chicken stew. We had a really good attendance. We had a lot going on last night in our community. Other churches, South Lenore, had something going on. But despite that, we still had a great crowd here. I want to thank everybody who helped and everybody who showed up to eat. It was a good effort, and I think everybody had a good fellowship. And once again, thank y'all for coming. Appreciate it.
And we give you A+, and feel free to do it anytime.
She says me, she means to me.
And they was also world famous clam chowder too. So it was almighty good. Well, let me thank the cooks, the cleaners, and the eaters. Okay, thank you. All right, now you can go.
Okay. As you know, you've been told numbers of days now. Tonight is our Woman's Auxiliary pre-Thanksgiving service, and as I said before, it's not just for women; it's for everybody. And I hope you will come and prepare your hearts and minds for Thanksgiving Day. Thank you.
Melissa, you want to say something? Well, stand up.
So our Christmas play is going to be on December 10th during the service. Okay, all children are welcome to be in our Christmas play. I have a part for everyone. And our lock-in is Tuesday night. And
drop-off is 7 o'clock the next morning.
7 o'clock.
So donations go to you?
To me or Selena.
Or Selena, okay.
Me or
Melissa or Jennifer.
All right. Everybody got that?
Yeah, the other Jennifer. I'm taking money for poinsettias, so that's why I'm not taking that money. So I'll take poinsettia money and the little slip for who you want to do the poinsettias.
All right, anybody else want to say something?
I've got one, please.
Let's get right up here and say it. Come on.
I would like to thank the, I'll give Thanksgiving for the people that helped in the soup kitchen yesterday. We actually served 145 people, and I want to thank those that helped, and especially Liza and Will Hawkins. They are tremendous help.
What an opportunity. Stand up. We won't see you.
Saturday is the Christmas parade. It's at 4 o'clock in Deep Run. If you're going to be in it, we start lining up at 3 at Sapperboard's Gym. And the luminaries ceremony is December 15th. All proceeds go to Relay for Life, but that you can honor anybody in memory or in honor of, and they're $10 a piece. This year, they'll be lit up all night.
Okay.
Can I ask about?
Yes, come at. Oh, yes.
Mr. Gray said that he would drive his truck, somebody would drive his truck in the parade, and that our kids could hold up a sign with our church name on it. So, any kids who want to ride in the parade will be lined up with Mr. Gray's truck at South Lenore.
Anybody else? Yes.
Anyone who desires to receive prayer calls church announcements through the phone screen. If you're not getting those, please let me know, because as of last night, everyone that has requested that we know of is on that list. So if you're not getting them, just let me know.
That's prayer chain calls, okay?
Yes. Prayer chain and announcements.
And announcements. If you're not getting those and would like to receive them, which they're mighty helpful, well, I need to be reminded a lot, you know. C. Bill Hawkins. Any others? All right, so Ladies Auxiliary, November the 20th on Monday at 7. Always on Mondays, 9 to 12, the Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project to support the veterans. Deacons meeting will be the 21st at 7. And then the Thursday Bible study at 10 a.m. And the Bill Gray Memorial Cook-Off coming up on December the 9th. So all these are listed except the Hanging of the Greens, which will be the 3rd, and the Christmas play on December the 10th. Anyone got any questions or anything to say? Anybody? Is that right? Okay, that's what I thought. All right. All right, well, let's begin worship. Let's read the responsive reading. Psalm 100, God's word says, make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence to sing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise.
Be thankful to him and bless his name.
Father God, we worship and praise you this morning because we have a knowledge of who you are, and that's why we've come. We also are thankful for all the many things you do for us every day. You bless us with abundance, abundance of your presence, abundance with one another, and all the other things that you throw in there. We're so thankful that we are your people and the sheep of your pastor. Bless our worship. May you honor and magnify Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 796. Sing all three verses of In Thanksgiving, Let Us Praise Him.
Breath we take is sacred, for it is God's
Thank you. You may be seated. Mr. Dennis Hill has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And the New Testament reading is from Matthew 25:14-30, which is a long way to read. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. Then his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So you made a way, across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Was the blood of love.
continue worship as we pray? Or are there any names we need to remember this morning?
Alan J.
Alan J., okay.
Mother, Betty Gunner.
Betty Gunner.
Edward Hill.
Yeah. Okay. Edward Hill, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others?
Lynn Hill,
okay.
Our country and the world.
Amen.
Our military.
Military, okay. Also, remember on the back of your bulletin, as you pray this week, you can lift these names. I'm sure they will feel the prayers as you lift them on their behalf. Let's take action as we pray this morning. Father, as we worship this morning, we'll feel your anointing upon us. And as we pray now, Lord, I pray that these names that have been called, the names that are listed on the bulletin, I pray that they will feel the anointing of your Spirit upon them. In your word, you've promised to be near us, and you are God who heals us and meets all of our needs. We come before your throne this morning, humble but with boldness, in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and petition on behalf of these that ask interest in our prayers. We also remember our nation, our leaders, and the state of this world. And we just pray your anointing upon our leaders and your anointing upon us, that as we go out into the world, that we can fall in the footsteps of Jesus and love people like Jesus loved them. It's good to worship today, to come and to feel the presence of your Spirit, know that you're our God, and thank you for all that you do for us. You're such a great and merciful God, full of grace and love, and you've proved it by sending Christ Jesus to die for our sins. And we honor you for that. We pray you bless us not only today, but in the week to follow. Give us grace and protection in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 793. We're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5 of For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
are given to us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology. You may be seated. A scripture text today comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in a letter Paul wrote to the church. Here is a verse that we want to think about today. It simply says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." All circumstances. You know what all means?
All.
And then he says, this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Seems like we just celebrated Thanksgiving. God's been good to us and time has rolled on. And it's good to be thankful. And what Paul reminds us of here is those who are into Jesus. You ever been into something? Those who are into Jesus will give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will. I've come to learn that people really want to know God's will for their lives. And when people ask about God's will, they're typically thinking about, what do I do next in a particular area of my life? Like, who should I marry? Or where should I go to college? Or what job should I accept? Or what should we be doing as a church? Direction should we be going? There's also something I learned in school I'll never forget. One comes before two. And all of these things I mentioned here are number two. Okay? They're all number twos when it comes to God's will. His will, first and foremost, is that we learn to give thanks. Now, if it was natural for us to do it, he probably would never remind us a lot about that. But he does, because we tend to be quite self-centered rather than God-centered. And when we're self-centered, a lot of times we're not grateful and we're not thankful. So why is it always God's will, no matter what happens in my life, why is it always God's will that I am to give thanks? I think that's a pretty good question, isn't it? So let's consider that this morning. It's always God's will that I'm to give thanks, not for my circumstances, but in all circumstances. Because we all have circumstances, right? We all do. We might all not always show it, but we all have circumstances. So why is it always God's will, no matter what happens in my life, that I am to give thanks in spite of my circumstances? First of all, gratitude honors God. And we should honor God. One year when Christmas Day fell on a Sunday, a farmer decided to go to church. He was a C&E Christian. He went on Christmas and Easter. And so on Christmas Day, he thought he was fulfilling his religious obligation by going to church on that day. The sermon that day was preached from a text out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. So Isaiah here was really saying that man is dumber than the animals that God made. And after church, that farmer returned home, and he stood out in the pasture among his cows. And one of them come up and began to lick his hand. A practical demonstration of the sermon he had just heard. Strong man though he was, he began to weep, and he thought, God has done so much for me, and yet I'd never thanked him. And here my cow is more grateful than I am. Gratitude honors God. And anytime you thank anyone, you're honoring them. And you need to learn to thank God not just for what he does. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? We get a windfall or something good happens. Oh, thank you, Lord. But I think we need to do better at thanking God for who he is. And if we can do that, we'll go a long way when we honor God of being thankful in all our circumstances. I mean, we can thank God. God, I thank you, God, that you're smarter than me, huh? I thank you, God, that your wisdom is greater than my wisdom. I'm thankful, Father, that when you create something, you sustain it and it lives on just like you said it would. I thank you, Lord, that you know what will make me happy more than I do. Help me to focus on you. I thank you that you're consistent, Lord, when I'm so inconsistent. Thank you for your love that you showed the whole world when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied on that cross for our sins. The whole world. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. That's thanking God for who he is. And it honors him to have this kind of attitude of thanks. Doctor studies, they know that gratitude is the healthiest human emotion. The more grateful you are in life, the healthier you'll be, even physically. Every day, let me suggest that when you get up, you sit on the side of your bed and you think of 10 things to thank God for before you even get out of bed. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your whole day. The first 5 minutes of your day sets the mood for the rest of your day. If you start it with gratitude, you'll be healthier. You'll be happier. You'll be closer to God. Think like this, maybe. God, let me just think of who you are. Let me think of what you've done. Let me thank God of how much you've done for me. And let me start my day by thinking of at least 10 things, Lord, that I can thank you for. And when we thank God, it honors him. The second thing is, by the way, there's going to be five, okay, for your outlines. Gratitude creates fellowship. We all like good fellowship, don't we? Yes. I thank God for the good fellowship we had last night. And you folks can eat up some stew, because them was two big old pots, I tell you. And then that chicken pastry and clam chowder. And if we had confession this morning, we had to all confess. We overeat, I believe. But gratitude always builds deeper relationships between you and other people. Do you want to rebuild a relationship with a friend or with a parent or with a spouse? With people in your little small circle or group, whoever you want to get closer to, start spending more time expressing gratitude to them. A lot of times when we group up, it's not really gratitude that we talk about, is it? It's all the bad things that's going on, all the negative things, and you know, that just brings us down on it. And it really disrupts fellowship. Before long, we figure out, well, maybe I don't need to be in that circle there no more. All they can talk about is the bad stuff. However, when we're with people who are expressing gratitude and are thankful for our presence, it builds that fellowship. And if you want to build fellowship in your small circle or in your Sunday school class or your men or ladies group or whatever, don't just go to where they meet. During the week, text them, call them, write them, send them an email. Throughout the week, let them know that you're thinking about them and you're thankful for them. And I'll say, many of you send Billy and I cards of gratitude and thanksgiving throughout the year. And it means a lot. It's a great deal of encouragement to know that people are thinking about you and are thankful for you. And it means a lot as you practice gratitude. And, you know, we're greatly blessed. And I want to encourage you to be more intentional expressing gratitude to the people that God has placed around you. He puts so many people around us. He blesses us with people. And, you know, we need to be really thankful and grateful for them and for their lives, because gratitude builds fellowship. Third thing is, gratitude develops my faith. How many of you can thank God when life really stinks? You know, that's really the test of whether you're a shallow Christian or a deep one. That's really a test of whether you're still on the milk or on the meat. How about it when everything's going wrong? You know, one of the things I've noticed in Scripture about God and His people is a lot of the great Scriptures that we have were written when people were writing when life really stunk, when it was tough. And these Scriptures talk about their dependence on God and how He came through for them and blessed them. And it helped strengthen their faith. It's easy to practice gratitude when life is gravy, isn't it? Can you thank God when life really turns sour? In spite of circumstances. Ravensbrück was known as one of the worst German concentration camps during World War II. It was a place where the captors were extremely cruel and abusive to the prisoners. Most of those were Jews. And when Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy found themselves imprisoned there, they were disgusted to discover that their barracks were infested with fleas. Can you imagine that? Being in one of the most cruel concentration camps there was, and then having to live with a bunch of fleas. Corrie began to complain And Betsy insisted that instead of complaining that they give thanks. And she quoted this scripture. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And with some persuasion, Corey finally joined her sister in thanking God for the fleas. Thank you, God, for the fleas. Several months later, the two sisters expressed their surprise that the cruel camp guards never came back there to their barracks to disrupt them or to prevent them from having Bible studies with the fellow prisoners. It was then that Corey realized that the very fleas which she had so despised had actually been sent as a God sent protection against the cruel guards. Which reminds us, when you're going through tough times, don't look at what's lost. Look at what's left. No matter how bad things get in our lives, there's always the fact that we can be thankful to God for just being God as a provider. God has promised to see me through life's most difficult situations. God has promised to help me out, to go with me, to strengthen me, to care for me, to do miracles for me, to fight for me, to answer my prayers. And God's always promised that even when things don't go my way, He can work it out for my good. And it don't get no better than that, does it? So ultimately, His plan is in action. And it takes a growing faith to recognize that. Be grateful in all circumstances. It builds stronger faith. When God comes through, we know it was God. And as we experience Him and His protection and His provision, we know Him even more. Gratitude also serves others. This ought to be a popular one right here, isn't it? Gratitude serves others. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength. The second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So if we get these two right, we're going to be right on the right path, I think. Love God with all your heart, with your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know the answer to many things in life, but I know this to be true. If you love someone, you love to serve them. When you love God, you serve Him. And when you love your neighbor, you what?
Serve.
You serve them. And our world needs to see a radical gratitude. Because that's how God has dealt with us. His love and mercy and grace is so radical. And radical gratitude actually serves others and is God's will for each of us. And because it's God's will, it really becomes a ministry. Now, hold on, preacher, you're getting a little too far here now. You know, we're really saved to serve others. In our lost condition, we have no desire to serve anyone but ourselves. But when we're saved, we recognize just how much God loves us and how much God loves the rest of the world. And, you know, we're saved to serve. And we can all have the ministry of appreciation. If you've ever bought a car, anybody ever bought a car? Four people, all right. If you ever bought a car, if you don't, I'm going to explain it to you. There's this thing called depreciation, okay? The moment you drive it off the lot, it's worth less than you paid for it. You may not even have to drive it all off the lot. Even if it's brand new, if you take it back, it's worth less. That's what depreciation means, that to decrease in value. So to appreciate means to what? Increase or raise in value. And this is a ministry. When you appreciate your husband, you raise his value. When you appreciate your wife, You raise her value. When you appreciate your kids, you what? You raise their value. When you appreciate your coworkers, you raise their value to you and the company. When you appreciate your boss, you raise his or her value. When you appreciate your neighbor, and don't say who is my neighbor, because when they said that to Jesus, the outcome weren't too good. When you appreciate your neighbor, you raise their value. I think this is true. Everybody needs massive doses of encouragement. I mean, we all have that enormous need to be affirmed, to be loved, to be appreciated. Right?
Yes.
And so does everybody else. And if you want to be in line with the will of God, here's a little secret. Affirm everybody. Appreciate everybody. Show gratitude to everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because gratitude serves others. Jesus was a great appreciator and a great encourager. He loved others. When he died on the cross, he served our greatest need for salvation. Only he could do that. And he expects us to do the same. He's put people in our midst. And he expects us to serve them just as he served us. So look around you daily for an opportunity to serve someone. Because just like Jesus, gratitude serves others. And number five, gratitude is a witness to unbelievers. The best way to share your faith with other people is to start with gratitude. Gratitude surprises people because people can be so ungrateful today. The Bible says that as believers, we're to live in such a way that we make the truth about God attractive. Think about this. When others look at your life, do they desire to know more about what gives you such an encouraging attitude? We're to be Jesus to people. I mean, you may be the only Jesus that others see. Be grateful for them and give thanks in all circumstances. Simply telling someone thank you can brighten their day. When you tell someone thank you, you're acknowledging not only their efforts, but their very existence. You're telling them that they are noticed. You're telling them that their presence matters to you. And by thanking them, you're speaking worth and value into their lives. They're a child of God's too. Not only that, you're making them feel appreciated. And that's powerful. And that's God-given. In a crooked and depraved generation that is cynical and sarcastic and critical, we should be encouraging people that shine like stars in a universe and a world that is lost. Christians must be known for radical love, radical kindness, radical joy, radical gratitude. And there's a word for that. It's called being Christ-like. He said, "You're the light of the world." And we're to shine with his grace and his gratitude. And in conclusion, a grateful heart sees each day as a gift. Thankful people focus less on what they lack and more on the privileges they have because of God's grace and mercy. I read a story about a banquet that was held. A wounded warrior was presented the gift of a free house. He nearly fell over with gratitude. He hopped up on the stage with his one good leg. He threw his arms around the presenter and hugged him and thanked him. Thank you, thank you. He could just kept saying thank you. He hugged the guitar player and the drugger and the whole band and the big woman on the front row. And I mean, he was just thanking the waiter and the other soldiers. And the presenter again. I mean, he was thanking people who didn't even have anything to do with it. Shouldn't we be equally grateful? John 14:2, the Bible says Jesus is building us a house. Called it a mansion. Our deed of ownership is every bit as certain as that of that soldier. But what's more, Jesus has cured our leprosy, our sin-cankered souls, and off-the-mark senses. Jesus told us we're healed, and lo and behold, we are. Thank you, Jesus. A grateful heart is like a magnet sweeping over the day, collecting reasons to be grateful. Think about it. A zillion stars sparkle against the velvet of God's sky every night. Thank you, God. The miracle of muscles enables your eyes to read His word and your brain to process it all. Thank you, God. Your lungs inhale and exhale 11,000 liters of air every day, consistently and faithfully. Thank you, God. Your heart will beat about 3 billion times in your lifetime. Thank you, Lord. Your brain is actually an electric generator of power. It controls your body. Thank you, God, for the jam on our toast and the milk on our cereal and a cup of coffee and good old fish and shrimp stew and chicken pastry, clam chowder. Thank you, God, for the blanket that calms us and the joke that delights us and the warm sun that reminds us of God's love. Thank you, God, for thousands of planes that did not crash yesterday. Thank you, God. For brothers and sisters of the faith who are always praying for us, even though we don't even know it. Thank you, God. For the Church of God that's moving mightily across the entire world today. Thank you, Lord. For men who are faithful to their wives, or wives who are faithful to their men, for kids who, in spite of unspeakable pressure to dishonor their parents, to decide to love and honor those who exercise their God-given ability to give them life. Thank you, Lord. Practicing gratitude is a life-changing daily habit that takes commitment. We have to keep pushing ourselves. We have to keep disciplining ourselves every day to take time to be grateful. I'm not saying feel grateful, because we don't always feel grateful. And even when we don't feel grateful, we can be grateful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When we give thanks, we're obedient to God. And when we're obedient, He always attaches a blessing. It's gratitude that helps us get through the tough stuff, the hard stuff. To reflect on your blessings is to rehearse God's accomplishments. And to rehearse what God accomplished in our lives is to discover His heart. And to discover His heart is to discover not just the good gifts, but the good giver. Because God is an extremely good giver. Gratitude always leaves us looking at God and away from the dread. Looking at God and away from the dread. God, gratitude does to anxiety what the morning sun does to the valley mist. It burns it up. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. So let's join the ranks of all those who daily give God a standing ovation and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day and for all your blessings, but mainly just for being you. There's so much about you we really don't even know in your greatness. And we pray that you'll help us discover that each day as we're grateful for who you are. Speak to us and accompany us and bless us and lead us in this week that follows. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So I'll stand and turn to 143 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of This Is My Father's World.
Thank you all for being here and bringing the spirit of worship. And I hope you have a really good Thanksgiving. Y'all got plans? Oh, yeah. Busy time. All right. Remember the announcements and this evening, 6:30, pre-Thanksgiving service. Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
Beautiful words.
All right. Let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,